It's Not a Farewell Fuck by Mumblebee. A game-changer series, heated rivalry fic, we're pairing Shane Hollander and Ilya Rozanov. Rating explicit. Summary. Hollander, he scolds, going to collect Shane's jeans and underwear to fold them so that the world doesn't break or something.
What are you doing?
Giving you a new pack, idiot. Take your pants off.
Or, Ilya's being sent to Russia to take over as Rozanov Pack Alpha, unless he can find a new pack first. They tell him his father has died, and then they only give him half an hour to pack his whole life up, which would be ridiculous except he's not even at home right now. So his whole life amounts to a Boston jersey and some skates which he doesn't think he even technically owns. He puts them in the big duffel bag they've brought for him anyway, and that eats into about 60 seconds of his allotted time. He figures he might as well spend the next 29 minutes cursing his brother or something, but he can't quite muster the vitriol, even though he can feel it bubbling away inside him. Damn him. Damn him. What was the point of having an older alpha sibling if Alexei isn't even going to take Grigori's place in the pack? What's been the point of any of this? Of America, hockey, Shane fucking Hollander? He's going back to Russia. They're taking him back to Russia and he's never going to be allowed to leave again. He pulls one of the skates out of the bag and slips the guard off, fingering the metal edge. It's not that sharp, but maybe he could cause some damage if he swings hard enough. He is not exactly a trained fighter, but there are only three officers, and they probably spend most of their time signing documents and hiding behind their scent anonymizers. Maybe he can fight them and make a run for it. Marley would probably hide him for a bit. Or we could ask Shane. No one would suspect him of hiding out with his arch-rival. He could be Shane's living cocksucker or something. He'd just stay in Shane's bedroom and kiss him every day, and never go near any windows for the rest of his life, except to fuck Shane against them, maybe. There are worse ways to live. Shane would let him, too. Ilya thinks Shane would let him do a lot of things. They're dangerously close to being too much for each other. Maybe that's why his father died. The universe knew that Ilya Rozanov had its fingertips on happiness, so fate had to intervene. In the form of three government officials giving him 30 minutes to pack his skates and his jersey before they take him somewhere to put his passport in a blender or something and declare him the Rozanov Pack Alpha.
Ilya, Shane hisses.
And for a brief shining moment, Ilya thinks that his own wretched brain has finally cracked right open so that he can hallucinate Shane's face one last time before he goes. Except the hallucination is peering down at him from the window, and he is pretty sure that if he was going to go crazy, his imagination would at least give him a Shane somewhat less external.
Hollander. Let me in, asshole.
Ilya is currently one of the stadium's many offices, which is usually set aside for executives to sit around in and say big numbers at each other, or whatever it is executives do. The offices aren't near the locker rooms, which are underground. The offices are actually a few floors up.
You are flying,
Ilya says. And his hallucination strings together a few swear words and demands entry again. Ilya goes to crank the window open, and his hallucination scrambles into the room, panning and smelling of familiar summer sunshine. Ilya pokes his head out, but there are no magic carpets outside, just a two-story drop and, right below the window, a tiny little artistic ledge running the length of the building, which a very enterprising hallucination might be able to use to climb from one room to the next. If you were fucking insane.
Holland, he reprimands.
But he turns around to find that Shane is stripping, right there in the middle of the room, where anyone could see him, which puts him firmly back in the hallucination category. Ah, yes, this is much better. Thank you, brain.
Quick, Shane hisses. We haven't got much time.
Ilya suddenly promises his brain a whole packet of cigarettes, if it gives the hallucination red lacy underwear. But alas, imagining Shane in anything other than the most boring plain black boxes is asking too much of his cracked psyche. Shane kicks them off without looking at where they land, which is so preposterous that Ilya immediately realigns what's happening with reality again. He might be getting hallucinatory whiplash. That it serves Shane right.
Hollander,
he scolds, going to collect Shane's jeans and underwear to fold them so that the world doesn't break or something.
What are you doing?
Giving you a new pack, idiot. Take your pants off.
Shane, don't. Fucking... Just don't, Ilya. The security guy said they've only given you an hour.
30 minutes,
Ilya corrects. And Shane swears.
We'll have to rush it. I didn't have any lube with me, but I found something that might work.
Ilya's heart does something fluttery and extremely un-Russian.
Holland,
he says again, aiming for reproachful, but landing somewhere in the vicinity of love-struck teenager.
You Spider-Man into my room for goodbye fuck is not goodbye,
Shane snarls, scent dropping. He shoves Ilya backwards into his sitting on the executive's desk. He puts a familiar little plastic squirty bottle next to Ilya's hip.
I'm not farewell fucking you with skeet oil, Hollander. It's not a farewell. You know what? Call it what you want. Just put your fucking knot in me.
Ilya can't help but laugh at that.
You'll break.
Shane goes pink, and then a deep mortified red. The kind of red that usually precedes only the filthiest requests. Ilya's favourite kind. But Shane doesn't break eye contact.
No, I won't, he says, steadily.
Ilya laughs again, and then abruptly stops as he realizes what Shane's offering. What he's been offering this whole time.
No,
he says. He tries to push Shane back, but Shane just swaps their positions, so his bare ass is against Azeka's desk, and his knees are outside Ilya's, and his nose is against Ilya's cheek, then his ear, then pressed right against his scent gland.
I want you to, he whispers. Holland, don't go to Russia,
Shane interrupts. Each word sends fingers sensation over Ilya's neck.
Come to my cottage. We could make this work. Holland. Ilya.
Shane's voice goes low, barely a breath. His scent is so potent right against Ilya's nose. Sunshine shouldn't have a smell, and yet all the best summer days are now irrevocably linked to Shane, who goes his lips over Ilya's neck to whisper.
Come be my alpha. Shane, I would never be allowed back.
Shane ducks his head down into his under Ilya's chin.
I know,
he whispers, and he sounds so sad.
I wish you didn't have to choose, but I'm asking you to choose me anyway.
Ilya stares blindly at the opposite wall, Shane tucked under his chin.
You'd be an Omega,
he says.
I'd be your Omega.
That hits Ilya's center mass, like a slapshot at point-blank range. His gums suddenly ache, his fangs itching to claim. He tries to be reasonable, with both Shane and his own alpha hindbrain.
You might regret later.
You might regret me, he doesn't add.
Never,
Shane swears, and he presses his lips to Ilya's collarbone through his shirt. He smells tender and determined, which is not the scent combination that Ilya usually gets when Shane's naked from the waist down, with his bare legs around Ilya's hips. God, he loves this man. It scares him how much sometimes. He doesn't want to leave. He doesn't want to be dragged out of this room without getting his teeth in Shane, or without finding out if they're compatible enough for Ilya's not to take.
You are sure?
He checks.
I've never been more sure. It scares me how sure I am. Aren't you sure too? Doesn't it kill you?
It might not take. Shane only scoffs at that, which is rather gratifying. Ilya wishes he could be as confident. Bondings are rare, only for the most compatible of mates. Ilya knows how he feels. But what if Shane doesn't really feel the same?
I would like to try,
he says, because he's no chicken. And because even if it doesn't work, he wants to fuck Shane one last time before he's dragged out of here.
Me too,
Shane agrees, in that entirely too sincere Shane way. Some days, Ilya wants to unhinge his jaw and swallow Shane whole. There's a sharp knock on the door.
15 minutes,
the gruff voice warns, like they choreographed it. Ilya and Shane look at the skater in tandem and grimace. Fortunately, hockey executives are generally fairly dirty. They're probably all having affairs with their receptionists on their leather couches or something. Ilya leaves a siren call cradle on Shane's thighs to scout through the desk drawers, emerging victorious like a knight from a quest with a whole bottle of lube, the expensive kind that smells like cucumber, and feeling like he's bringing his liege lord the head of a dragon. Shane makes grubby hands at it. There's also a whole string of condoms in the same drawer,
but Ea leaves them behind. If they're really doing this, he needs to be in shame with nothing in between them. The thought alone is enough to make him hard in his pants. Shane's already fingering himself when Ea returns from his hunt. He's turned around, bent over with one hand planted on the desk, still with his shirt on, and looking like sin incarnate. Probably this is why people become poets and sculptors or whatever. Ea should learn. Shane's working a second finger into his ass, which is wonderful to watch. But the clock's ticking, and there's no way he's relaxed enough to take Ea's cock, let alone his nod. Ea wishes he had time to write sonnets or something, but has settled for making Shane come.
"I will get you off," he murmurs. "There's no time."
Ea thinks that there's always time to get Shane off. It's one of the laws of the universe or something. No matter how small their window is, Ea can always get a hand or a mouth where it needs to go, and his Shane always rewards him with an orgasm.
"I will mini-task."
"Multitask," Shane corrects, then gasps as Ea drops to his knees, nipping at one firm ass cheek and reaching around to take him in hand. Shane is hard, because of course he is, and Ea presses a quick kiss to the spot he just bit before replacing Shane's fingers with his own, pressing two in at once, because that's what Shane has been doing, even though Shane feels too tight to be ready for even that much. Ea presses deep, then leans forward to lick firmly at the rim, where Shane stretches around his knuckles. The lube doesn't really taste of anything, so mostly it's just skin and Shane, and the deep alpha must that Ea won't ever get again, regardless of how this goes. He gives one strong stroke with his other hand, fingertips trailing over familiar flesh, slick with lube. He palms up the shaft, twisting his grip slightly as he goes, and then thumbing over the leaking slit when he reaches the tip. Shane yelps and curses, jerking forward hard enough that the desk screeches across the floor a bit.
"Mr. Rosenow!"
the same gruff voice calls. Ea pulls away long enough to holler back.
"Fuck off! I have still 15 minutes! 11,
asshole door guy mutters, which prompts Ea to release Shane's cock and reach blindly for his own belt. He unhooks it one-handed and yanks it free, then hands it to Shane.
"Right,"
he directs, and doesn't wait for Shane to comply before diving back in to tongue at him. He's focused more on function rather than pleasure, but is often one and the same when it comes to the walking libido known as Shane Hollander. He cups Shane's balls through the V of his legs, thumbing one, and then the other, as he fits a third finger in beside the first two. Even with the prep, it's a hell of a stretch. Alphas aren't built for this, but they've gotten practice at making it happen regardless. He hates rushing this part, even when Shane begs him to. And Shane knows how to beg so pretty. It's very hard to say no. Shane muffs a sound into Ea's belt and strokes himself frantically. He's always so responsive for Ea. Perfect sunshine man. Ea twists his three fingers, feeling stubborn muscles relax incrementally, and he unerringly finds a spot that has Shane groaning into the makeshift gag. There'll be teeth marks in the leather, later for Ea to reverently touch. He'll wear the belt inside out, so no one else can see what Ea can do to Shane. He rubs insistently at Shane's prostate with the tips of three fingers, and twists his hand a bit so he can thumb over a slick, tight entrance from the outside. Shane makes a whimpering sound, and his arm gives out. He thumps flat onto the desk with a muffled cry, lifting up onto his toes so he got enough room to keep stroking his cock, even as it goes boneless everywhere else.
"You will come soon,"
Ea tells him, not bothering to phrase it as a question. Shane spits out the belt.
"This isn't supposed to, oh God, be about me."
"You'll come for me,"
Ea demands anyway, and licks a broad stripe from the base of Shane's cock, over his balls where they're tucked tight and desperate against his body, and then over his perineum. Shane's scent twists at the very last second, like it always does, going sharp, almost luminescent, like a thunderclap before a downpour. They haven't tried to drag the pleasure out at all, so the spill into orgasm happens quick, not as all-consuming as things sometimes get between them, but enough to have Shane crying out as he comes across the brink of desktop, lifting his hips even higher, and tipping his head back so he forms a sinful arch. Shirt rucked up where his chest is pressed to the table. Ian takes his mouth from Shane's skin, but doesn't remove his fingers. As Shane shudders through the tail end of his orgasm, Ian spreads his fingers out, testing. Shane's whole body, on the cusp of bonelessness, instead clenches up and he groans. But he doesn't demand Ian get the hell out, so at least the orgasm hasn't knocked him senseless. Clenching is hardly the outcome Ian needs right now, but he knows Shane's body. And more importantly, Shane's pleasure, like he knows his hockey stick, an extension of himself, familiar as breathing, and he knows that a quick orgasm now will help for this next part. Ian keeps his fingers spread and turns his wrists, slowly. The lube makes a soft, slick sound, like a girl. Or, more accurately, like an omega. With a start, Ian realizes this might be the last time they ever need lube. He wonders what Shane will taste like when he changes. If he changes. If he becomes Ea's Omega. The thought makes his own hips jerk, rudding against air. With his free hand, he shoves at his pants, pushing them to mid-thigh so he can palm at his cock. He shuffles forward on his knees to rud against the back of Shane's left calf. It's a bit pathetic. If it's not takes, he'll retell the story maybe without the part where he humps Shane's leg like an animal. If his knot doesn't take, then, well, it won't matter either way.
I'm ready, Shane says over his shoulder.
Only a little bleary.
That's enough. Come on, your turn.
Shane isn't stretched enough for a knot. He's barely stretched enough for a cock.
I don't want to hurt you, Malish. It'd hurt more if you get taken away, Shane says,
entirely too honest. Ea kisses the inside of his thigh. How did they end up here? How did he end up with a lover who would give up his fangs just to be Ea's? Shane tucks his shirt off so he's naked except for, somehow, a single sock. Ea feels hopeless and fond.
My heart, he whispers,
and is both relieved and disappointed in himself when the words come out in Russian, instinctively hiding behind a tongue Shane can't interpret. Speaking of tongue, he licks again at the place where his fingers are crammed into Shane's tight ass. Already, he can feel that Shane is losing tension as he goes from overstimulation into the post-orgasm, pre-orgasm grey area, where he'd be soft and receptive without being desperate. A beautiful area for him to be.
Come on, Shane urges. Come on, come on!
Well, maybe still a little desperate. Ea reluctantly pulls free. He wipes the excess lube on his cock, and grips Shane's hips as Shane's scent dips and rises. Equal parts excited and anxious. He pauses there, right against Shane's ass. His cock always looks impossibly large when he's holding Shane's trim waist and lined up against his wet, clenching hole. Like there's no possible way that he'd fit. There's no condom in the way. And though realistically he knows it shouldn't feel that different, he swears the heat radiating from Shane's body is already too much. What would it feel like to be in him? God, maybe he shouldn't let himself have this. Shane could have his pick of men. Better men. Someone who won't make him bend over strangers' office furniture just for a chance to stay in the same condom.
I can hear you thinking, Shane hisses. You smell like you're being an idiot. You're thinking idiot thoughts. If you don't fuck your knot into me this fucking instant wasn't off, I swear to God I will hunt you for sport and peel you with a spoon. Ah, but I will be in Russia. They have spoons in Russia too, asshole. Get in! So bloodthirsty, Ea croons. Moi Malish, roll over. Let me do this thing while looking at your freckles.
Shane scrambles forward and then over, so biddable when he's begging for cock. He ends up on his back on the desk. Ea gets a good view of the splash of cum Shane's left on the wood. Shane notably doesn't seem to care about it staining if it's someone else's furniture getting ruined. Important information to file away for a later date. Hayden Pike probably has a really expensive dining table. Shane brings his knees up to his chest without being prompted, leaving his ass hanging over the edge of the dirty desktop. Oh yes, very nice. Ea tries to develop a photographic memory through sheer force of will. He dips a thumb into Shane's wet hole and pulls it down slightly, pleased at the stretch. It's not nearly enough for a knot, but is a start. He presses his cock forward, again amazed at the heat of Shane's body, and then groaning as he sinks into it. Shane's scent going soft and warm like it does every time Ea fucks him, with a hint of petrichor that Ea only ever smells when they're like this. Rain warm stone is reserved solely for the moment Ea first breaches him. It could be his imagination, but Ea thinks the scent is stronger today, too. Like Shane's body can feel that this time is different.
5 minutes,
comes a gruff voice from outside, knocking unnecessarily loudly. Like Ea's maybe going to spend his last minutes in North America having a nap or something. Ea shares a wide-eyed look with Shane, and then the smell of petrichor is overwhelmed by the rainstorm scent of Shane's determination. Ea loves him like this. He loves him maybe always, but like this. With a time limit and a challenge. He loves him especially.
You heard the man, Shane says. 5 minutes to not me.
You lost your gag. You can be quiet without it. It would be very bad to be disturbed, no?
And just as Ea knew he would, Shane only grins in challenge and says,
Better find another way to occupy my mouth then, asshole.
Ea grabs Shane's ankles and holds them out of the way so he can descend to kiss Shane, beginning to rock his hips as Shane is practically bent in half. He slings an ankle over his shoulder and suddenly pledges a Porsche to have invented yoga as he sinks impossibly deep. Groaning into Shane's mouth, Shane grips his biceps and Ea shifts his own grip to the backs of Shane's shoulders as he starts to fuck him properly, hauling him into every thrust. Shane's cock is stuck in between them, but the friction from their moving bodies seems to be enough because Shane's making desperate sounds into Ea's mouth already, like he didn't just come a second ago. Ea lets go of one of Shane's shoulders to cover his mouth instead, leaving him free to kiss over Shane's freckles, across his nose, then down to the bolt of his jaw. Shane doesn't make a noise of complaint about being folded in half for so long. He makes a lot of other noises against Ea's palm, though. Ea thinks he might be locking his ankles behind Ea's neck or something, and he silently promises the yoga person a Mercedes, too. He lets go of Shane's other shoulder to slip a hand onto Shane's ass. Without the bracing grip, Shane slides a bit on the desk with the force of Ea's thrusts. But a moment later, he firms his hold on Ea's arms, and Ea takes the opportunity to press a fingertip over Shane's slick, heated entrance, stretched so wide already around Ea's cock. Shane mumbles something behind Ea's hand, and Ea doesn't need to hear the words to know that Shane is promising that he can take Ea's knot. But,
I don't care if I need stitches in my perineum.
It's hardly the ringing endorsement Shane probably thinks it is. He licks over Shane's scent gland as he edges a thumb in alongside his cock. Shane grunts and jerks, though he can't go very far or pinned and folded like this. Ea likes it when he tries, though today, Shane looks like he's right where he wants to be.
Will you come again when I knot you?
Ea whispers into the wet spot he leaves on Shane's neck. He ducks under Shane's chin to look at the other side too, trying to decide where he wants his bite to go. Shane just makes grunty affirmative noises and slaps at Ea's sides like he's spurring a horse. Neither of them mention the fact that Ea's knot might not take at all. Most alpha-alpha pairs aren't bond-compatible. They could go through all of this only to discover they're not meant to mate anyway. And then Ea will get dragged off, and Shane will have an unbonded bite mark forever, and they'll never see each other again. Shane sinks his teeth into the heel of Ea's hand and glares at him.
Ah, Ea says, still kissing his neck. I am smelling of goodbye again.
Shane bites harder and shakes his head a bit, worrying at the meat like a dog with a catch. He only lets go when Ea hisses and pulls his hand back. And then he hisses back at Ea like a pissed off snake.
It's not goodbye, he says. I know you're my mate. I know you feel it too. We could have taken years to get there, but we don't need years. Just 5 minutes. Come on. Do you know what will happen if I not?
When you not?
Ah. Yes, when?
I don't know the specifics of what happens. I don't care. I want it anyway.
You're fucking mine, asshole. You just need to fucking not. Such Boy Scout language,
Ea scolds. Who is teaching you these words? You want to shut me up?
Shane tilts his head so he's speaking right into Ea's ear.
Make me yours enough. Fucking claim me, Alpha.
Ea groans above him. How much longer do they have? A minute? maybe less. He thumbs insistently at Shane's hole, trying to coax the belligerent muscles into relaxing further, even though he's still not convinced his nod is even going to take. Not because he doesn't want to be Shane's mate, but because the universe probably won't let him. Something is going to take this one bright thing away from him. He rumbles a possessive sound into Shane's skin and fucks him harder. Thinks about all the things he hasn't gotten to do to him yet. Thinks about Shane wearing his mating bite. Thinks about moving to Canada permanently to be his. To be Shane Harlander's. To be his alpha. He angles his hips at the head of his cock, jams against the favorite spot that has Shane shaking in his arms. Cock jerking and leaking in the space between them. He's so hot on the inside. So slick and tight. Even relaxed after orgasm, and Ilya's effort at stretching him. Ilya grabs blindly for his ankles again, unhooking them, and then holding his hands out wide so Shane's bend and spread and stuck, groaning. Oh, Ilya's. He makes punched out sounds bordering on pain as Ilya pushes his body right to the limit of where it can go, and then holds him there. So he can't jerk or walk at all as Ilya hammers into him. All he can do is cling to Ilya's shoulders. Then his hair, yanking him desperately closer to kiss open mouth and uncoordinated, and his, or his, or his, or his. And then the office door opens. All right, Mr. Rosanoff, time to go. Shane snaps to attention. Without pausing for breath, he wrenches his head to the side and chomps down on Ian's neck, breaking the skin over his scent glands. The response is immediate. Ian's core lurches upward, like he's about to heave, as his hindbrain reacts to an unexpected alpha bite. His fangs punch out of his gums, flooding his mouth with venom and blood. He snaps into place over Shane's neck to lay a counterbite, his alpha hormones howling. Except his fangs don't sink into a rival alpha's flesh. They sink into Shane. And Ilya realizes Shane hasn't even used his fangs. Only his regular teeth, but the timing. Right as Ilya been about to come, had clearly been deliberate. Alphas aren't sensible even on the best of days, and biting is a surefire way to get bitten and turn. Shane probably planned it and everything. Ilya bellows into Shane's neck, overwhelmed by the scent of him, crushing bruising tide as his gums, his jaw, his fucking tongue, seem to ache with the release of venom. The ducts behind his sinuses empty into the bite. On a rival alpha, it would hurt like all hell and stop any fight in its tracks. On a compatible Omega, it will kickstart a keen. And on a mate, well, here's hoping. Shane howls like a wild thing and thrashes in Ilya's arms. Some instinct has Ilya tightening his hold, keeping his fangs buried until the bite takes. He doesn't know how he knows when to sink his fangs deeper, but he figures instinct has gotten him this far, so he doesn't question the need to bite harder still. Gums almost cramping as his fangs slide an extra millimeter deeper, breaking past some layer of tissue or muscle or meat, and piercing so perfectly he immediately knows he's got it right. Fireworks erupt behind his eyes. It's almost shocking. It's like literal fireworks. Huge bursts of color and sound. He's pretty sure someone's playing orchestral music or something, because it feels very fucking holy having his fangs in Shane Harlander. Damn near divine. He can taste him, closer than he's ever tasted Shane before. Straight from the source, like summer sunshine spilling directly into his veins. Shane screams in his ear, coming instantly without either of them touching his cock. Stop! One of the officials yells, and reaches out for them. Maybe she's only trying to distract Ilya out of an impending alpha haze, but Ilya will laugh about her attempt later. An alpha, thinking to forestall another alpha from nodding by trying to separate him from his mate. Ha! Huh. What happens instead is Ilya, fangs buried in Shane's neck, mating bite only seconds old, feels the impending threat of separation, and reacts exactly as appropriate. He roars into Shane's skin and, with no further warning, nods. His nod expands so suddenly he actually doesn't even recognize the feeling at first. It happens without bothering to inform the rest of his oversensitized body of the event, so his pistoning hips almost pull out at the exact wrong moment. But Shane, either waiting for Ia's nod, or else such a good cock-hungry slut for Ia that he reacts instinctively, tightens on his cock, clenching hard around him so Ia nods on the inside,
not the outside, thank God. And Ea must release Shane's ankles, because then Shane's legs are wrapped around Ea's waist, and they're both yelling. Or else everyone else is yelling around them. There suddenly appears to be a lot of noise. Except it's hard to concentrate on anything that isn't the feel of Shane's warm, slick body going impossibly tight around him. Except it's not Shane who's changing. It's Ea. Swelling and sticking and nodding. Claiming him. Claiming him. His mate. His Omega. His Shane. Oh God. Oh God. Ea instinctively tips his head further forward, baring the back of his own neck to better protect Shane's scent glands. It somehow presses his fangs further in, and there's a twisting sensation in the back of his head. And Ea has just enough brain power left to think, this doesn't feel like the movie says it feels, before he goes fucking inside out. His spine splinters. Gravity comes out his eyeballs. Maybe, or else he's got so full of Shane. Impossible, impossible. That sunshine is leaking from his pores or something. A full-on radiant blast. He's screaming through gritted teeth. His veins are imploding. Or the other kind of imploding. Exploding? Something is definitely exploding. He can hear roaring. It might be Shane. God, Shane.
Shane.
My love.
Malish, Malish.
Shane. He can feel every point of contact between them like they're melding together. Is this what mating is supposed to feel like? He thinks he might be coming apart at the seams. He thinks he might be going mad.
Mr. Rosanoff, this is quite unorthodox. I'm afraid I must insist.
Blind with something akin to divinity. Ea grabs for the paperweight on the office desk and flings it behind him. He doesn't need to look to know he has pinpoint accuracy right now. He's got fangs and nod in his other half. And there are rival alphas here who want to take him away. He could shoot a puck through the eye of a needle while blindfolded right now. Just try, motherfuckers. Just try.
Rosanoff! Someone gasped.
Not Shane, who is still screaming. Jackknifing between Ea's knot and his fangs, and saying maybe only one syllable of Ea's name at a time. Which is still too coherent by far. Ea wants him incapable of speech. Ea wants to render him insensate. His mate. God, it worked. It fucking worked. Shane is his. 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 Is it supposed to feel like this? Is mating supposed to feel like someone's replaced his blood with fat copper circuits and they're hot wiring him straight into the mains?
Mr. Rosanoff,
someone says again. And Ea bellows righteous fury without moving his fangs even one inch. He uses the grip on Shane's neck to haul him upright, wrapping arms around him as Shane yelps and curses. And then he has Shane off the desk entirely. And this time, it's Shane's turn to scream as he sinks further onto Ea's knot, his feet scrabbling at Ea's lower back as he tries to hold himself up. His fingers are so tight in Ea's hair and he's yelling, something. Ea can't translate anything except his own name. He only knows that there are other alphas here, and Shane smells like sunshine and tastes even better. And he's Ea's. They're mated. They're mated. And he needs to get them situated somewhere slightly more defensible. Ea ferries Shane to the nearest corner, the one opposite the window, and throws a vase and some framed photos out of the way to press Shane into the little cove set in the wall, where Ea can stand between him and the rest of the world. He moves his hand to grip Shane's thighs instead of his waist. Shane tries to wriggle up the wall with the backs of his shoulders, but he's stuck tight on Ea's knot, and Ea next succeeds in fucking himself on it, yelling. His dick is still twitching. Has it been doing that this whole time? Ea makes a sound he doesn't think he's ever made before. Something rumbly and pleased. Hadn't he been thinking about Shane taking his knot just a second ago? Hadn't he been worried about it? He can't fathom being worried about it right now. Shane's locked tight as he should be. He's exactly as stretched as he needs to be. Ea lets go of one of Shane's thighs to slip a hand behind him and goes fingertips over the place he stuffed so unfathomably full. He thumbs at the impossible stretch.
Don't ye dare, Shane gasps. Don't put that on me, Rosanoff. Holy fucking shit, I'm gonna...
He makes a cut-off choking sound, and it takes long moments for Ea to recognize the sound of Shane coming. He tries to lean back to watch it happen, but his fangs are still lodged deep, and he can't find even a morsel of desire to remove them. And so he only feels Shane's cock jerking between their bodies.
After a moment, he realizes that his own cock is jerking too. Maybe this whole time. He's coming in Shane hard, his hold not flexing and flexing like there's a hand in there pumping the cum out of him by force. Now that he's noticed it happening, he can notice anything else. His cock jerks and spills again, and then again. He didn't even know he was physically capable of coming this much. Shane must be stuffed so full. Ea's cum is gonna get so deep, Shane will have Ea up inside him forever. If Shane were an Omega, there's no way he wouldn't catch. And then Ea remembers that Shane is an Omega. That's what this means. That's what all of this means. Maybe not quite capable of popping just yet, but soon. Ea's nod and his fangs, and his hot alpha cum filling him up, is all combining to turn Shane into Ea's, so that Ea can be Shane's in turn. With his face stuffed into Shane's neck, there's no way to avoid scenting him on every inhale, which is certainly one of the better ways to inhale. But right now, Shane smells so golden he must be physically glowing. His normal alpha summer scent is laced with the unmistakable sweetness of Omega. It's really happening. It's really happened. Not only are they bond compatible, but they're mated. Mated. He's Shane Hollander's mate. His jaw tightened instinctively, even though there's nothing but our death that can take Shane from Ea now. Shane cries out and arches, the heels of his feet jammed in Ea's back.
Ea,
Shane is saying. He might have been saying it for some time.
Ea, Ea, for God's sake, I can't, oh God, Ea.
He comes again, almost sobbing into Ea's shoulder. His body starts shaking as it empties itself of Alpha Seed. Ea wishes he counted Shane's orgasms, just so he has a number to aim for in future. It's good to set goals.
Enough, Shane yells. Voice went, Rosanoff, please, I can't.
Oh yes, you can,
Ea thinks. And Shane's body seems to agree, because Ea's cock gives another near painful lurch. And Shane says,
oh fuck, Ea, I...
And he must have had more Alpha Seed to give after all, because his cock shoots one final time, almost dry. Only the barest dribble of cum joining the mess between their bellies. Some instinctive wire gets uncrossed somewhere in Ea's hindbrain, and he finally finds himself capable of unclamping his jaws from Shane's poor neck. He licks at the scent gland, which is swollen and punctured, but fortunately not a wounded, gory mess. Without Ea's fangs in his neck, Shane is left virtually hanging off Ea's knot, panting like he's run a marathon.
Omega,
Ea murmurs against Shane's skin. It comes out terribly slurred around the fangs, and a second later, they slip back into his gums, somehow feeling overworked and sore, which he's pretty sure is impossible.
Omega,
he says again.
It worked. It worked.
Are you awake? Jesus Christ, Ea, move! I can't! My dick! Oh my God!
It physically hurts to pull even a little bit away from Shane's neck, but Ea manages it just to stare between their bodies at Shane's cock. Objectively one of the best views in the world. Eighth wonder, probably. Made even harder by the mess of cum smeared over Shane's cock and stuck in the hair of Ea's belly. Shane's probably going to be grossed out about it in a second, but for now, he's too busy swearing and clinging to Ea's shoulders.
Don't,
he says, when Ea leans back even further and makes a sound bordering on agony as his cock is jostled. He almost reaches for it, but doesn't seem to want to touch. So one hand hovers between them, while the other stays gripped in Ea's hair. He seems completely oblivious to the fact that they're nodded at all, which means he's really past the point of overstimulated. It must have been fucking spectacular. Ea thinks there's some important information they need to sort out, so he starts with the most pressing question.
Hollander, he says, how many times did you come?
Fuck off, holy shit.
10.
Fuck off, Rosano.
If you insist.
He moves his hips as though to step away from the cove. Shane shrieks and grabs onto him.
Don't move, Ea. Don't.
Ea sends him unashamedly.
I think you have one more in you, no?
I'm not coming for a year. Stop moving! Why are you still moving?
Ea hadn't even been moving that much. He just wanted to send Shane some more. He feels like he's drowning in sunshine. Though logically, he knows it just feels like that, because the venom glands behind his nasal cavity have been emptied for the first time, and his sinuses are expanding to fill the space. He just might develop a seasonal allergy or two after today, in case Shane feels bad for him and lets him envenom his mating bite again. The thought alone makes his gum ache, but his fangs are maybe a bit overworked because they don't even threaten re-emergence. No matter, they have time. For the first time ever, they have all the time in the world. The rest of their lives, in fact. With that thought, he remembers exactly where he is right now. He looks over his shoulder. One of the fishes is standing in the corner, furthest from where E has Shane pressed to a wall. She's lost three shades since E last saw her, and she's clutching a clipboard like a shield in one hand and a scent mask across her nose with the other. She looks about as miserable as a deportation officer can look, which honestly isn't quite miserable enough for Ilya. When she catches his eye, she quickly averts her gaze, clears her throat and says, "Congratulations, Mr. Rosanoff. Will you be bringing your mate to Russia or seeking bond citizenship in Canada?"
"Canada," Ilya says immediately.
Shane doesn't say anything, but he's clearly listening because his scent goes almost flowery, which is very embarrassing for him, and he is going to try and make him do it again at the first opportunity. The fish only nods, like she'd been expecting his answer, but knew she had to ask anyway. She scarpers a second later. There's probably going to be paperwork to fill out about this. Bonds are rare enough that no country would dare separate them now. They have international immunity. Una Hollander will probably have 10 interviews lined up by the end of the week to use this opportunity to denounce deportation laws in general. Oh, wow. Shane's mother is part of his extended pack now. He's going to have to meet Una Hollander. As though the mating bond conveys thoughts as well as pack status, Shane groans and says, "I need to call my parents."
"Yes, put them on the FaceTime. It's perfect occasion to meet me. Asshole, we're meant to have a game today. Mom's my manager." "Hockey, hockey, hockey," Ilya scoffs. "The game is hours away. It's mating bond, not broken legs. We will still play."
"Ilya, I'm becoming an Omega."
Doesn't Ilya know it?
"Mmm," he hums. "You are smelling so good already. Oh, gooey."
He kisses the mating bite.
"My Omega."
Shane swats him away.
"I'm going into heat, asshole. You're taking me to my apartment and we're not leaving for a week."
"A week," Ilya says, feigning horror. "My mate, he is so empty. He is needing me 10 times a day. Ah, I shall wither and die, like husk."
"You can wither into a husk after you got me through heat, Rosanoff."
That sounds like heaven to Ilya, but he makes a pathetic sound just so Shane will kiss him, which he does. Ia's cock is a final feeble twitch where it's buried in Shane's body.
"Oh, is your knot going down?"
"I think so, yes."
"Okay, shit, okay, I'll get my phone."
"Do I have time to ask questions?"
Shane blushes up at him, incongruously shy given they're literally knotted right now.
"A question?"
Ia leans in and sends up Shane's neck to reach his ear.
"Shane Hollander," he whispers. "Omega, Malish, my love."
"Yeah."
Ia presses his lips to the soft shell of Shane's ear.
"Important question," he says.
He kisses again.
"Most important question."
"Hmm?"
"How many times did you come?"
"Fucking asshole."
15.
"I thought you were going to ask me to marry you."
"If I do, will you tell me number?"
"Fuck off, no."
20, Hollander.
"Go to hell."
20, husband.
Shane gives him a glare with the kind of outrage only Shane Hollander can produce. But he smells like sunshine, and he's wearing Ia's mark, and they're bonded. Ia thinks Shane's glares are a small price to pay. 20, he decides. 20 is a good number to aim for. Omegas are known to be insatiable, and Shane's starting with a baseline level insatiable that Ia thinks is probably higher than most. Always aiming for the top score. He kisses his mate's freckles one last time as his knot finally goes down. Shane's outraged flush gives a darker red at the wet sound Ia's cock makes as he pulls out.
Delicious. gooey sunshine mate. Ea wonders what it smells like as a full omega. He can't wait to find out. The end.